Gaia's Revenge. We have good cause to wonder here what "he pushed them into Gaia's womb" really means. Some people have taken it to indicate that he buried the Hecatoncheires in the earth. Divine identity at this early time was fluid. How much a god was a person and how much an attribute is hard to determine. There were no capital letters then. Gaia the Earth Mother was the same as Gaia the Earth itself, just as Uranos the Sky and Uranos the Sky Father were one and the same. What is certain is that in reacting like this to the three Hecatoncheires, his own children, and in treating his wife with such abominable cruelty, Uranos was committing the first crime, an elemental crime that would not go unpunished. Gaia's agony was unbearable, and inside her, alongside the trio of writhing, flailing, 300-handed, clawing, and 150-headed, butting Hecatoncheires, there sprang up a hatred, a most terrible and implacable hatred against Uranos, the son she had borne, and the husband with whom she had given birth to a new generation. And, like ivy twisting round a tree, there grew a plan of revenge. The piercing pain of the Hecatoncheires still gnawing at her, Gaia visited Othrys, a great mountain that looks down over central Greece. From its peak, you can see the blue waters of the western Aegean as they embrace the sporadic scattering of islands called the Sporades. But Gaia was consumed with too much pain and too much fury to enjoy one of the world's most charming views. On the summit of Mount Othrys, she set to work fashioning a most unusual and terrible artifact from its rock. For 9 days and nights, she labored until she had produced an object, which she then hid in the cleft of the mountain. Next, she took herself off to visit her 12 beautiful, strong children. "Will you kill your father Uranos and rule the cosmos with me?" she asked each in turn. "You will have the sky from him, and together all of creation will be our dominion." Perhaps we imagine that Gaia, Mother Earth, is soft, warm, bountiful, and kind. Well, sometimes she is, but remember that she banks down fire inside. Sometimes she can be crueler, harsher, and more terrifying than even the wildest sea. And talking of the marine world, the first of the children that Gaia tried to win to her side were Oceanus and his sister Tethys. Tethys is also the name paleontologists give to the great ancient sea that was an ancestor of the Mediterranean. But these two were in the middle of negotiating a share of the oceans with Thalassa, the primordial goddess of the sea. All of this generation were stretching and flexing their muscles at this time, establishing their areas of expertise and control, nipping, growling, and testing each other's strength and dominance like puppies in a basket. Oceanus had conceived the idea of creating tides and currents, which were to run like a great salt river around the world. Tethys was about to have his baby. No sin in those early days, of course. Propagation would not have been possible without incestuous couplings. She was pregnant with Nilus, the Nile, and would go on to give birth to other rivers and to at least 3,000 Oceanids, or sea nymphs, attractive deities who moved as easily on dry land as in the waters of the sea. They already had 2 fully grown daughters, Clymene, who was the lover of Iapetus, and the clever and wise Metis, who is due to play a very important part in what is to come. Since there were perhaps 3,000 Oceanids, it would be fruitless to list them, even if all their names were known, but it is worth introducing Calypso, Amphitrite, and the dark and fearful Styx, who, like her brother Nilus, was to become the deity of a very significant river. One more Oceanid merits a mention, but only because of her name, Doris. Doris the Oceanid. She went on to marry Nereus and by him mother many Nereids, friendly nymphs of the sea. Oceanus and Tethys were happy and looking forward to life on the ocean wave, so neither saw any reason to help kill their father, Uranos. Next, Gaia visited her daughter Mnemosyne, who was busy being unpronounceable. She seemed a very shallow, silly, and ignorant being who knew nothing and appeared to understand less. This was deceptive. For each day that passed, she got smarter and smarter, more and more well-informed, and more capable. Her name means memory, giving us the word mnemonic. At the time of her mother's visit, the world and the cosmos were very young, so Mnemosyne had no opportunity to prime herself with knowledge or experience. As the years passed, her endless capacity for the storage of information and sensory experience would make her wiser than almost anyone. One day she would mother 9 daughters, the Muses, whom we shall meet later. "You want me to help you kill Uranos? Surely the Sky Father cannot die?" "Dethrone or disable him, then. It is no more than he deserves."
"I will not help you."
"Why not?"
"There is a reason, and when I know it, I will remember it and tell you."
Exasperated, Gaia went next to Theia, who was also paired off in another sibling union, to her brother Hyperion. In due course, she would give birth to Helios, the sun, Selene, the moon, and Eos, the dawn. Quite enough parenting to be getting on with, so they too showed no interest in Gaia's plan to depose Uranos. Despairing at her pallid and unadventurous brood's refusal to live up to what she imagined to be their divine destinies, not to mention repulsed by how loved up and domesticated they all appeared to be, Gaia next tried Phoebe, perhaps the most intelligent and insightful of the 12. From the earliest age, shining Phoebe had shown that she possessed the gift of prophecy.
"Oh no, Mother Earth," she said when she had heard Gaia's plan. "I could take no part in such a plot. I see no good coming from it. Besides, I'm pregnant."
"Damn you," snapped Gaia. "Who by? Caius, I bet." She was right. Phoebe's brother Caius was indeed her consort. Gaia stormed off with renewed fury to visit her remaining offspring. Surely one of them had the stomach for a fight. She called on Themis, who would one day be regarded everywhere as the very symbol of justice and wise counsel. Themis later became a personification of law, justice, custom, mores, the rules that govern how manners and things are or should be. But Themis wisely counseled her mother to forget the unjust idea of usurping Uranos. Gaia listened carefully to this wise counsel, and, as we all do, whether mortal or immortal, ignored it, choosing instead to try the mettle of her son Creus, who consorted with her daughter by Pontus, Eurybia.
"Kill my father?"
Creus stared at his mother in disbelief.
But how? I mean, why? I mean, oh.
"What's in it for us, mother?"
asked Eurybia, who was known as the Flint-hearted.
"Oh, just the world and all that's in it," said Gaia.
"To share with you?"
"To share with me."
"No," said Creus. "Leave, mother."
"It's worth considering," said Eurybia.
"It's too dangerous," said Creus. "I forbid it."
Gaia turned with a snarl and sought out her son Iapetus.
"Iapetus, beloved boy, destroy the monster Uranos and rule with me."
The Oceanid Clymene, who had borne Iapetus 2 sons and was pregnant with another, stepped forward.
What mother could ask such a thing? For a son to kill his own father would be the most terrible crime. All cosmos would cry out.
I must agree, mother, said Iapetus.
A curse on you, and a curse on your children, spat Gaia.
A mother's curse is a terrible thing. We shall see how the children of Iapetus and Clymene, Atlas, Epimetheus, and Prometheus, met their ends. Rhea, the 11th of Gaia's children to be asked, said that she would have no part in the plan, but, throwing up her hands to stop a savage torrent of abuse from her mother, suggested that her brother Cronos, the last of these strong, beautiful children, might very well like the idea of deposing his father. She, Rhea, had heard him many times cursing Uranos and his power.
Really? Cried Gaia. You say so? Well, where is he?
He's probably mooching around down by the caves of Tartarus. He and Tartarus get on so well. They're both dark, moody, mean, magnificent, cruel.
Oh, God, don't tell me you're in love with Cronos.
Put in a good word for me, Mummy, please. He's just so dreamy. Those black flashing eyes, the thunderous brows, the long silences.
Gaia had always thought that her youngest's long silences indicated nothing more than dullness of intellect, but she sensibly refrained from saying so. After assuring Rhea that she would, of course, recommend her warmly to Cronos, Gaia sped down, down, down to the caves of Tartarus to find him. If you were to drop a bronze anvil from the heavens, it would take 9 days to reach the earth. If you were to drop that anvil from the earth, it would take another 9 days to reach Tartarus. In other words, the earth is halfway between the sky and Tartarus. Or you might say, Tartarus is as far from the ground as the ground is from the sky. A very deep, abysmal place, then. But more than just a place. Remember, Tartarus was a primordial being, too, who was born out of chaos at the same time as Gaia. So when she approached him, they greeted each other as family members will.
Gaia, you've put on weight.
You look a mess, Tartarus.
What the hell do you want down here?
Shut up for once, and I'll tell you.
These testy exchanges won't stop them at a future date from mating and producing Typhon, the worst and deadliest of all the monsters. Typhon gave us typhus, typhoid, and the deadly tropical storm, the typhoon. Later we will meet two of Typhon's repulsive offspring by a half-woman, half-water snake called Echidna. But just now, Gaia is in no mood for love or for trading insults.
Listen, my son, Cronos, is he nearby?
A resigned groan from her brother.
Oh, almost certainly. I wish you'd tell him to leave me alone. He does nothing all day but hang around looking at me with his eyes drooping and his mouth open. I think he's got some kind of man-crush on me. He copies my hairstyle and leans limply against trees and boulders, looking miserable, melancholy, and misunderstood, as if he's waiting for someone to paint him or something. When he's not gazing at me, he's staring down into that lava vent over there. In fact, there he is now. Look. Try and talk some sense into him.
Gaia approached her son.